oh, that was funny. I like it. That's our signature.
Service bell. Ring the bell and we're here.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, well, what was happening? It's been a while for episode 3.
Yeah, first of all, guys, welcome to our podcast.
Yeah.
Episode 3, which has been postponed for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Yeah. That's because, first of all, we apologize if for some chance you are still waiting for it. The thing is, we've been in this huge task in A-Star.
Yep.
Yeah, we both are.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what is it?
Really?
Yeah, it just showed us.
Okay. So we are testing this certain V20.
Yeah, you got it. That's right. V20.
We don't have to be subtle about it. We are testing V20 of 3CX.
Sure.
For a long time. Yeah. Right? Testing, evaluating, reporting, and, you know.
Do some researches on it. Yeah.
A lot of work to do. Yeah. So that's why we've been working on.
Sure. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you think about V20?
Really?
No, hold on a second. You don't need to tell me everything about all the features, but just tell me what do you think about it?
Okay, so first of all, it's not appropriate for us as two still A-Star employees,
of course,
to evaluate and talk about the features, the functions, you know, the business strategies here, mm-hmm. right? To pass judgment, it's not right to do so. So we're not going to do it. Okay. But if you're asking my feeling,
that's right.
I have to say this. My feeling about 3CX V20 is really, really complicated.
Complicated. Yeah. Yeah, I think I got your point. I think I got your point. I got a same feeling, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because,
you know, when we talk about V20, I don't think this is going to be some sort of, you know, new firmware update. I don't think so. This is more like a sign of the market.
Yeah.
It's more like a sign of all manufacturers' actions mm-hmm. for new year, for year 2024. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if we see 2024 and we see the V20,
mm-hmm.
It is definitely a very, very tough decision to make.
Sure.
They have done a couple of them, tough decisions.
Exactly.
In the V20, right?
Yeah.
And we as another manufacturer, actually, we are in the position where we can understand why they kind of understand why they do this and that, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's not even about the V20. It's not even about 3CX, right? That's just a manufacturer. A phone system manufacturer
mm-hmm.
trying to handle.
Yeah, I guess that's about what is happening right now. So what is wrong with year 2024?
Yeah. If we are to explain what's going to happen in 2024, we have to look back at 2023.
You mentioned 2023. Yeah, funny story, you know.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of year 2023, I believe most of us, we feel really happy. You know,
we're so pumped.
That's
we're
right.
We're so excited because we are officially reopened in China.
Yeah, it's been
in
3 years.
Yeah, we're like, okay. We're like, okay, so we're finally open.
Sure.
We're free to travel. All the actions and demands have been suppressed for 3 years. The dynamic is good.
Yeah.
Everything is on our side. We're going to be on it. We're going to make it happen. We're so happy. But then 2023 just give us a huge slap on the face.
Oh, not that bad. Come on. I know year 2023 is not that perfect, but not that bad, right? Did you get a raise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
you get
right.
a raise as well.
Sure thing, yeah.
Okay. So if we look at the economy, right, and we look at all the difficulties, not only us, but our partners are to face in year 2023, and certainly in year 2024, we will understand it. To be honest, in A-Star, things are going pretty good, especially if we compare to other companies, other business, right, mm-hmm. and other countries sometimes. The thing is, we got a raise, right? And we, as a company, we managed to get a growth in year 2023. Of course, that's because our partners are great, right? But the thing here is we definitely see more difficulties to manage the same amount of growth.
Exactly.
Right? If we look back at 2020, 2021, you know, the start of COVID, if we take same amount of effort, we will easily get more, you know, outcomes.
Sure.
But now we work really, really hard.
Things are just getting harder.
Getting harder.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, I believe everybody knows. Right?
That's right.
Because of the economy. Because of the chaotic. Mm-hmm. Right? So with the economy, we don't have enough currency in the market. People don't have that much money, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, people don't have that much expectation on the economy. So people are being very, very reservative, right?
Sure.
Reservative. Yeah. That's the word.
They're just not that willing to invest too much money on the basic company infrastructures, phone system.
Yeah, they need to look at the money that they invest that can create like instant benefits just right away.
Yeah.
Right? And phone system as a basic manufacturer and basic infrastructure
right.
Yeah, is certainly a long-term investment.
Yeah.
So that means people are
That means we got lots of challenges.
Yeah. So, you know, manage to get a growth and get a pay raise for us too.
Sure.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
So 2024, when we look at the market, it will only get worse. Yeah. We don't see any sign that things can get better. Yeah.
But anyway, I guess we also got some plans, some strategies.
Yeah. So let's get back to this.
Yeah.
Everybody have to face this situation.
Sure.
Right? And that's why V20 happened, right?
Yeah.
We're not here to talk about it. So Yaystar, as I mentioned, just because the situation is okay, it's fine, right? Apparently you guys see the new firmwares we have published, right? And I believe we've been talking about the roadmaps, right? So clearly the strategy of Yaystar is kind of aggressive.
Yes, you kind of aggressive. And we take a very positive action to do it.
Yeah, just because there are no much demand in our traditional, you know, share of market, we will look for new demand. Right.
Yeah.
We will create new features, new scenarios where our product can fit new customers so that our company includes our partners can get new opportunities, right? To maintain, to survive, or even to grow.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll just try our best to do something new on our products.
You guys see.
Yeah. Helping our partners to explore.
Yeah. You guys see the omni-channel messaging. Yeah. You guys see the, you know, WhatsApp, Facebook integration.
Mm-hmm. For the contact center solution.
For the contact center, yes. We're surely going deeper and deeper, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, new things has been, I don't know if it's okay to talk
come
about
on.
Them.
Because you are not already in the podcast.
Because they're not officially in the roadmap. Guys, they're not officially in the roadmap. We are still talking about SBC. I am quite sure that SBC will be out there in some of the regions first, where SIP is really challenging.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we going to launch hardware SBC?
As far as I know, it's a software-based SBC. Right.
Yeah, but anyway, that's reasonable.
Yeah, because originally some of the countries like Middle East, SIP is challenging, so our system cannot work that well, right? But now if we try to fix it with an SBC, right?
Sure.
And of course, you know, outbound call centers, that's a new thing, right?
Yeah.
And
I guess we will also have an important update on the cloud solution. Big plan.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say it? Well, anyway, this is our podcast. Just go ahead.
Okay. It's not official, but we're evaluating multi-tenant solution. So that means we're going to have single
instance. We already got a single instance. We got a multi-instance.
It's already on the table.
Sure,
it's already here in Yaystar. And we're evaluating and trying to create multi-tenant.
Right. Yeah,
so with
great.
Multi-tenant, that's a whole nother market.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, this is a good point. This is just like you mentioned. We're trying our best to help our customers to explore more business opportunities.
Yeah.
Even year 2024 is not that good.
Yeah. So, because if we don't work hard
to
find new opportunities to explore in a bad year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That we're all on a slow death.
Sure.
It's not going to happen.
Sure.
Well, so the thing is, and that's why we got a pay raise.
Yeah.
Because things are going to be more difficult. And that's why Yaystar is actually hiring. Yeah, the team is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Right? It's just because we are looking at new features, new functions, new fields, right? Mm-hmm. We need more people here.
Right.
And ASTAR happens to be able to afford it, apparently. Yeah. So, yeah, it is going to happen. And there is a number. Well, I'm going to say it because...
what was it?
In year 2023, the investment... For the development in YayStar, product development in YayStar is 25% of the yearly revenue.
Well, that's 2023. Really a big amount.
Yeah.
You mean 25% of our profit and we just invested in revenue, the R&D
yearly
department.
Yearly revenue, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Goes into development. Well, in year 2024, we can expect... similar.
No.
Similar number.
All right.
Yeah, because we are looking at new features.
Sure.
We have to invest on new features. I have to say, this actually within just between us adds a lot of pressure to us. But at the same time, we are excited. Mm-hmm. And actually, the reason why we are here in YayStar, except for the apparent 80% reason that we got a raise, is that we agree with this.
Yeah.
This strategy. I think it's good.
Sure.
I think, actually, I want to work
It's a pretty smart strategy. Only with this strategy, it can keep the comedy, keep rolling.
I don't know if it's smart or dumb.
It depends on the new updates. But what new features are we going to launch, right?
At least, I think it's the right attitude.
Sure.
And I want to work in the team with this kind of attitude. It's not that we're going to judge other attitude, but... this is the thing that is happening right here, right? This is one strategy. And you will find many other companies who is taking very similar strategies, like expanding their operation, taking this opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, for example, VTech.
Oh, VTech.
Yeah.
Yeah, big company.
Yeah, they are purchasing...
Snom, right?
Yeah. And I think it's a win-win situation, right? Snom can get more funds,
sure,
more backups, more money, and VTech got a very good brand, a brand with very good reputation.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows VTech. VTech is probably one of the most famous company in this business.
Right.
Because
but they're also very famous in the other one.
Yeah, toys. Right?
Yeah.
This is the situation. If you are making toys, if your brand just have a big, if you have like three lines of shelves in Toys R Us, that is who you are,
right,
despite of all the success you can
sure
get. So that's probably why they got Snom to begin with, right? But that's, as I mentioned, this win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a smart way to face 2024? Yeah, for
absolutely
sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
For both of them, right? Snom get money. VTech get a good brand, right? Great, win-win, right?
Yeah.
And of course, similar things also happening, with Amitel. Yeah, they're buying like Astra, other brands.
Sure.
Yeah, similar situation. So if you are having problem, financial issues, or if you need to survive, need to expand, but you don't have enough, money, you look for this kind of opportunity,
yeah,
right?
That's
where
right.
You get them.
Yeah, you're just supposed to do anything you can to take actions, like I said, for year 2024.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what's happening right there, right?
Sure.
And that's good. Other companies are taking this kind of way to face 2024.
Well, good to be back.
Yeah.
Short break, right?
Yeah, haircut break.
Yeah, that's right. We changed the hairstyle anyway. Yeah. Oh. All right. Mm-hmm. So previously, I guess some points you mentioned that was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about some other manufacturers' actions like VTech, Mitel.
Well, yeah. Basically, everybody is making a great effort to, face challenges, to find new opportunities, to seek opportunities, basically.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. So I prepared another question for
you.
A tricky question, actually.
Yeah.
We start our topic today with V20. So my next question is, what about V20?
Okay, I know you will just let it go.
That's right.
But we won't be talking about our feelings about the features, the function, the products, okay?
Yeah, of course. We're not going to talk about features.
Yeah. your...
I mean, what do you think about V20? Because that's also an action from 3CX for facing all these challenges.
Well, I'll put it this way, okay? I think I cannot say they are heading to a wrong direction. All the improvement, all the things that they have done, all the changes they've been made, but they have a good reason for it. Like, for example, if you really look at all the, you know, new features, all the changes they made, well, they added some features, they removed some of the features.
Sure.
They do it for a good reason, that is security.
Yeah, that really makes sense.
Well, it makes sense to enhance security. I think the reason why people react so strongly, you know, some people act very strongly about it, is because it doesn't match their expectation of a V20.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. You mean most of their updates this time is more like they just try to improve the security. So that's kind of like something you're supposed to do. You don't need to spend too much time or too much energy to tell people, hey, this is going to be something important for V20.
Well, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
A big part of it is to, you know, enhance the product, you know, security-wise.
Sure thing.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
The thing is, it's V20. People expect more features.
That's right.
Because they need it to find new market.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of new features, they have a couple of, no, very used features are removed because of security reasons.
Sure.
So we are manufacturers. We both work for manufacturers. We understand that all manufacturers have a long-term plan.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Even though we remove some of the features, that's because we want to make certain changes on the system. Eventually, we're going to add it back. But it needs some time. Yeah. So when I see V20, I think of our past. You know,
that just reminds me about our P-Series system at the very beginning.
Yeah, when we just launched P-Series PBX,
sure.
You know, people were like, okay, it's great.
Yeah.
You guys have made some great features, you know, the FQD and the operator panel, the call center and stuff. That's great. But where is my busy campon?
Yeah, that was the awkward moment for us.
Yeah, but where is my autoclip? Where is my integration with all those CRMs?
Sure.
Right? People were like this. Well, we added back, you know.
But just take some time.
It takes time.
Right.
It takes time. So it's a very awkward phase where all new products have to go through. Why? Once again, because we don't have all manufacturers are working with limited resources.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, you do have your plan. You do have your strategy.
Yeah.
You have your roadmap. So
yeah.
Absolutely, for most of your features, functions, you have to make sure everything is stay in the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, by step.
Yeah. Ideally, when you remove some of the features, you have a replacement already made.
Exactly.
Right? But that's very, very difficult.
Right.
Yeah. Especially when you are managing. Well, I had to mention some of the features because otherwise the conversation just cannot go on. Like Stone.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Stone has been removed. Why? For security reasons.
Sure.
But some would say, well, not technically removed, but it's, you know, basically for auto feature, auto function for everybody, for many people. The thing is, if you have to use Stone, you have to open ports. If you open ports, that brings risks.
Yeah.
And apparently people don't want that. But you need to, but if we are, our development team, our product management team, if they are to remove this feature, we need to have a replacement already prepared.
Yeah.
And so we can tell people, okay.
You have to provide an alternative for our customers.
And it has to be better.
Sure.
Especially you do that on a big upgrade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A big upgrade. People have high expectations.
Sure.
And well, there are many rumors about, you know, V20 and how the price will go, how the tax will go, how the company, we just ignore that, okay?
Sure.
It's a big upgrade. People need new features. People need an upgrade.
That's okay? Right. That's right.
But V20 is a temporarily, I don't want to say downgrade, but it's not an upgrade, right?
Well, I guess pretty sure they will make it better. They will make it complete in
eventually,
the future. It will just take some time.
Well, even though we are from Yaystar, we have no doubt about it.
That's right.
I think we both agree what kind of company,
what
kind of brand 3CX is. But the thing is, it just happened in a very, very
at this moment
awkward time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where people are seeking opportunities.
Sure.
Seeking ways to survive,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, at least for this moment, that's not what exactly what people need to fulfill their goals.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that also tells us that we, as the manufacturer, we shall get closer to our partners.
Yeah.
Seriously, just like I mentioned, you do have your plan, you have your strategy step by step anyway. Mm-hmm. That's okay, you can keep it this way, but you have to get closer with your partners, collect their information, collect their feedback.
Yeah.
Then try your best to find the balance point.
Yeah,
I mean, of course, we cannot provide a perfect, 100% sure, perfect solution.
True.
But
impossible.
What we can do is, at least we can do something to find the balance.
Yeah, like for example, we've mentioned some of the features we're about to do.
Right.
So, yeah, that we do this because, well, we need to offer what the customer needs, right? And, well, let's get back to this one more time. So 3CX is definitely doing that.
Exactly.
But, well, it takes time.
Sure.
Once again, it's awkward time. It's, you know, very, very subtle issues, and they have to handle it correctly.
Yeah.
This is just what's going to happen. And we, once again, we as a manufacturer understand each other because we have same job. We have same mission.
That's
even
right.
Though we're competitors, you know, somehow, but yeah, we can understand that. So I guess this is everything that I have, you know, to say about.
Yeah, that's
about
quite
this.
Reasonable, actually.
Yeah.
That's quite reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I guess since we just mentioned about the challenges for manufacturers, and also I mentioned we shall get closer to our partners.
Yeah.
So for this podcast, for this very podcast, we also get this special, you know, part, which is going to be the interview.
Mm.
We prepared a very special interview with one of our partners.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who is that?
David.
David.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Well, just hold on a second. Yeah. Let's just give the stage to David.
Okay. So let's hear from a real man who is working in the front line to, you know, promote a system to offer solutions for end users.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's go ahead. All right. First of all, David, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for your time. It's so good to have you in our podcast.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Jason. It's a bit of a treat for me. I mean, I've never done a podcast before, so you know this is all new. It's quite exciting.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly first of time, right? First the thing, I would like to ask you to give us a brief introduction about yourself, about your company. Anyway, just show us something, please.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is David Sills. I work for a company called PNTS. We're an MSP based in the northeast of England. Up near Durham, or in Durham, actually. So it's anybody from the UK will know where Durham is. And we support, there's seven of us in our company, so we're fairly small. But we support about 80 clients based around the UK, right, stretching from Newcastle, which is near Durham, right down to London, and everywhere in between. My history, I've been with this company now for about 7 years. Before then, I worked for a local education college for about 16 years. I was there for a long time. I left there and went to work for a company called Greggs. Now, in the UK, everybody will know Greggs. Maybe it's not where you are, Jason, but it's a very big bakery chain based in the UK. And that was great. It was a real step up for me. And I was only there 2 years when Mark, my director, came and offered me the role here at PNTS, which is quite exciting for me because I've never worked for an MSP before. I've only ever worked at the college or at a big corporate company, where the day-to-day is very different. You know, it's your network, it's your decisions, it's your money, budget, I should say. So you can kind of do what you would like within the confines of your budget. Anybody who works for an MSP will know that's not the case. You know, it's all down to how each client values what they need to spend on IT. So it was a great move for me. I've loved moving, and I love this kind of work much more than what I was doing for all those years. But how we've moved into communication, telephone communications, is that all those years at the college and then at Greggs, I've always been involved with the telecom side of things. So predominantly I'm a network guy, you know, I'm a system administrator, but off the back of that, I've always had a part of the admin of the telephone sides of the companies I've been at. right back to old school. You know, my first telephone system was an old CS1000 Nortel system. You know, the good old fashioned boxes on the wall with all the wires terminated back into TN numbers and all that good stuff. Well before digital lines, even, it was all analog. So well before voice over IP. So I've had, luckily for me, I've had the experience right from that ground up, right through. Makes us feel old now, but it's that's kind of my history with telecom. So when I moved to PNTS, we didn't really have we didn't offer communications as a service. But our clients inevitably came to us when they had a problem with the phones or they had problems with anything like that. So, and we indirectly got dragged into fixing it. So we decided, you know, why don't we try and offer this service ourselves? So we started off putting some free PBX systems in for a couple of people. Then we moved into a more structured version of, I'm allowed to say a 3CX, I guess I am, I suppose. we became a 3CX partner. And that's where I kind of waffled a little bit there, didn't I? I'm sorry about that, but that's kind of my history.
All right.
I don't think you really wanted the life story there, but I guess I gave it to you. So I'm sorry about that.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, so historically, my experience is in telecoms and networking. Like I say, it's moved into the PNTS side quite nicely. So, but that's where we are now.
Yeah,
well,
sure,
that's
all right.
Where we are now. We're now into... in the year style. So mm-hmm. It's all good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, you're quite experienced in the industry. Absolutely. Well, yeah. I got a question. All right. So something interesting. I got a question here for you is, well, as we know, for the, you know, past year, especially year 2023, till now, the global economy is not that perfect, to be very honest. Cool. You know, funny story is, at the very beginning of year 2023, we all believe this is going to be a great year, but actually it's not that easy, right? What do you think about it for year 2023? Is it going to be an easier year or is it going to be a harder time for you guys?
I think it's not getting any easier. I don't think nowhere near really, is it? We were the same mindset as you, Jason. We thought surely we're through the dark stage there. It has to get better from now. And then, it's not really, is it? It's just, if anything, it's getting more difficult. Not just in the IT side of things, but, you know, just everything. Every cost, energy costs, cost of living costs, is, in the UK especially, it's drastic at the minute. So money's tight for everybody. So we were exactly the same, like you just touched on. We thought it was going to get really positive and come out the other end guns a-blazing, but it's really not the case. We've actually been lucky with our client base, as it happens. The vast majority of ours are architects or structural engineers or somebody in the building industry. So as it happens, for whatever reason, that industry hasn't slowed down in the UK. It's still very active and quite positive at the minute. So our clients haven't really been affected by too much of the economic downturn as yet. So... as a knock on, we haven't either. So we've been very lucky so far. But all of our costs are going up, as are theirs. We're trying not to increase prices, but it's difficult. It's one of those where you really concentrate more and more on the costs more than you perhaps did in the past.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with that. And this is going to be the same point. Me and Ramon, we were discussed about this before. We believe that people in the market, they're going to be, I think people are more and more careful, especially when you try to push them to invest their money on some infrastructures like a phone system, right?
That's right.
That's right. It's going to be the, go ahead.
It's always been a bit of a difficult sell, but certainly more now, you know, especially if they've got, phone systems is a good example, actually, because everybody has a phone system that works of some description. It may not be great, but you can pick up a handset and make a call. So when money's tight anyway, to walk in and try and convince somebody that what you need is this solution, because it gives you all these other features and advantages, we think it's worth it, and we know it'll be worth it for them, but it's a difficult sell for them when really all they're doing day to day is picking up the phone and making a call. So it's not getting any easier in that respect.
Okay. So what's the major problem? Is it going to be a solution with not, you know, not that much features or functions, or maybe this is just because of the cost. It's going to be expensive. What do you think about it?
Well, it's a funny one, you know, Jason, because I've been thinking about this when I was preparing for our chat, and I don't know what the roadblock is. It's a number of different things. I think a lot of the time, some of my clients, and I'm sure it's the same for the MSPs, are not open to change that much, especially when it comes to technology. They're fairly tech savvy, you know, they are designers and architects, but the idea of moving to a software-based telephone extension or an app-based telephone extension, a lot of ours, we get a bit of pushback on that because for different reasons, whether they don't like thought of it or they don't want the app on their personal phone, or whatever it is, there's a bit of that. There's the cost side of things, but even that, traditional phone systems are expensive, you know, as I'm sure you know, that 9 times out of 10, any solution that we would offer would probably save the money on what they're paying already for a traditional ISDN-based phone system. So that's not really a massive factor in reality, but it kind of is, because it's something that there's still a bit of investment into new handsets, for example, or the time it's going to take for implementation, or costs for there is a cost, but the monthlies tend to be, you know, reasonable in comparison to what they're already paying. So even that's not a stumbling block. It's just change a lot of the time, I think, for our customers generally. But it's something else that they don't have to worry about. If the phone just works, it works. But because they're used to using phones in a traditional manner where you just pick up the phone and make a call, so the difficult point for us, I think, is trying to explain to them what the benefit is from moving to something like YesStar and everything that goes with it. Because a great system, you know, 3CX is a great system. All these other ones are great systems in comparison to what these people have already got. It's getting that point across and helping them understand. That's a bit of a stumbling block sometimes.
Sure. I think it's like a nighttime.
Yeah, it's not 100% cost based. You know, it's a bunch of different factors. A low cost has become more of a factor.
Sorry. Sure. Yeah, I think this is like maybe 9 times out of 10, you know, when we talk about a phone system, you know, for our customers, most of these features are enough. They don't need to change it. If you really want them to change it, you have to give them something really special. You need to figure out some new opportunities, some new features, right? I think that's going to be a good point, right? Just hold on a second. I got another question for you. I'm very curious about this. So you mentioned these challenges, also some, you know, problems. What did you guys do in year 2023? I mean, what's your strategy in year 2023?
I'll be totally honest about our strategy is that with communications and the services we offer, we've got like, we're not huge. We're not a big telephone provider, but we've got about 40 PBXs out there with different customers. So our strategy as a company doesn't really center around the telephone side of things. It's more of an organic kind of thing that we inherit from our current client base. For example, we don't have any clients that have come to us purely just from a telephony point of view. All of our telephone systems that we provide are all to customers we had previously, which is something I would like to change. You know, I would love more customers just to turn up and say, we need a phone system, can you help us out? Because that's not the path we've gone down yet. So I think if there is a strategy, it's promoting us as a company, as a telephone provider. At the minute, we're a network support provider, an MSP, and we do telephones as well. So it's kind of that situation we've fallen into. Like I touched on just before, mainly because we found ourselves supporting telephone systems anyway, regardless of who the provider was, because our clients would come to us and see our phones are not working. And we like to pride ourselves a little bit on the fact that we would look after that kind of stuff. You know, if we're looking after your network, we'll look after your phones and we'll look after your printers and you look after your whatever other third party products you might be using. We would log faults on their behalf kind of thing. So we always got dragged into an issue if there was one. So that's why we started just providing it ourselves. So that's kind of how our model is progressed to where we are now. So if we did have a strategy, it loosely would be to promote us as a telephone company as well, a provider. Because we also do lease lines and things like that as well, you know, so it all kind of pulls into the same category. So funny we're having this conversation. I did have a chat with our directors last week about how we're going to start promoting this, because as it turns out, the Yearstar marketing pack is quite good. That's part of the partner portal. So we're going to use some of those templates and get more active on LinkedIn and email campaigns and things like that. So strategy-wise, we probably haven't got one directly for telephones. That's always been part of our main strategy. But yes, I would like to develop more predominantly the phone system side of things.
Sure.
If that answers your question, I'm not sure if it does.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for sharing. All right. So another question. All right. You mentioned all these points. They're really interesting. So another point is for year 2023 or even in the future, you know, you guys are working together with so many vendors. I mean, not just Yearstar, not just a phone provider, you know, phone system provider, many vendors. So for facing these challenges, what are these vendors' actions? What do you think about it? So different vendors, they will have different actions. So are they good? Are they bad?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a mix, isn't it? Yes, it's a definite mix. The overarching feel of it, I think there could be better. You know, I think a lot of our, pretty much all of our clients now have moved to the Office 365 platform for emails and stuff like that. So but we don't manage any more on-premise exchange servers apart from one or two. And their support isn't great. You know, I'm really struggling with it at the minute. And because you're relying on them completely now, as opposed to being able to administer your own exchange server. That's one example, sorry. So I think going forward, I think they need to get better. I really do think they need to get better because everybody's heavily reliant on them now. They're totally integrated. It's not just the fact, if I use Microsoft as an example, you don't just use them for email anymore. You know, you use them for Teams and you use them for phones sometimes. You use them for SharePoint and OneDrive and everything else that goes with it. So if that goes and you lose connectivity or there's something not right, you're stuck. You're really in trouble. So their support needs to really up its game, and just be more transparent with people. And this goes around to all vendors really. And then you know how I keep picking on Microsoft as an example, but they're always updating and pushing out updates and things like that. That you know a lot of the time cause issues. Where you, in the past you could hold onto those updates and you could push them out when you wanted to push them out. So more transparency from vendors, more support, more. I mean, I don't even think the cost side of things is a big deal, really. I think everybody's happy. I won't say happy, but everybody understands that.
Yeah,
you know, that's where the world now. Costs are going up regardless. So if prices increase, providing you know they're reasonable, I don't think people have an argument with that. But more. You know, be honest, open, transparent.
Sure.
And just to touch on Yearstar, I mean, it's I've only really started with the partners membership recently, but so far it's been brilliant. I'll have to say that. You know, credit where it's due, even with the time difference, I find myself waking up in the morning and I have an email sitting waiting from somebody at your end, which is nice. You know, and then I reply and. Sometimes I might get one that day, but yeah. If it's the next morning, I know it's going to be there the next morning. So you know, thumbs up for that. I am very impressed in comparison to the previous one.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's actually a very important point. I think you mentioned this point is very important. It's going to be very inspiring for every single one of the manufacturers in the market. I mean, if you're going to raise the price, like you mentioned, if the price is reasonable, that's fine. I mean, people are going to accept it. That's nothing wrong with it because everybody knows what's going to happen right now, what is going on with the market. But you have to be very serious on the service part. This is something you really need to spend more time. You need to take a very positive strategy on it. You need to push it. You need to improve the efficiency for your service. I mean, that's really a good point.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, like I say, most people in general, I don't mind paying for a good service if it's a good service. But if people are just ramping prices up, and then in a lot of the cases the service actually deteriorates, you know, that's what gets people angry and upset about.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to get that balance right. And I know it's, I don't think it's too much to ask from a vendor to offer good support. I think it's critical, because for me personally, I'm sitting here and I'm the person they see in the front line.
Sure.
And if something goes wrong with a vendor's product that I can't fix, you know, I need their support to be able to help me do that. Otherwise I'm dead in the water and my, it looks terrible on my company. So,
sure.
That's a big one. Good support. Which, yeah. You know, that's an old age thing, really. It's nothing new. But it does appear to be deteriorating some things at the minute.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. All right. One last question.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. One last question. So, well, we're in year 2024, New Year's, right? So yeah. What's your expectation for the New Year's? I mean, this question might be that open. All right. It's like an open question. So let me just make things be more specific. What's your expectations for vendors? What's your expectations for the market, let's say? A little bit tricky, right?
It is one of the tricky. You caught us a little bit, that one. My expectation, I think the vendors are going to, well, you know what it is? I'm really conscious about how the world is going in general, to be honest. And I'm not, there's a few things now that really shock me. And it's pessimistic to say, but I'm struggling to see where things are going. I think from a technology point of view, I'm sure, I think AI is going to be a big thing. I think that's going to keep going forward, regardless of whether we want it or not, and how that's going to integrate into the systems we've already got, like phone systems, for example. Or actually, I think I heard one in one of your previous podcasts actually talking about text-to-speech stuff for IVRs and things. I think that's a massive, something like that, where, you know, the translation things are happening on,
sure,
Google phones, things like that. So, or like, I think vendors are going to go more down the path of unified communications, really, whether that's translating languages or text, or just making the communication side of things more transparent and easy. But I don't see any real, again, might be a pessimistic view, but I don't see any real groundbreaking changes from in this industry in the next 12 months. I think things are going to improve on what we've got, hopefully. But apart from maybe the AI, I'm struggling to think of anything else. I mean, we would like, as a business, to go down more the integration route with everything that we do. The service we provide, covers everything from phones to printers to servers to local LANs to leased line connections to backups and offsite backups and disaster recovery.
Yeah.
I think more products are going into the more overarching design where they cover everything, you know, or cover more than they do. You don't just have an email server anymore.
Sure.
You don't just have a telephone system anymore. You know, you have unified comms and you have...
Right.
Web meetings and video meetings and stuff. So I think it's more, if anything, it's just going to be going more on the development of what's already there. And it's sad, really, because I'm a positive kind of person. I like technology and I like change. I just think it's going a bit stale at the minute in a lot of places. But apart from comms, actually, telephone systems are going great. So, yeah, you know, there are some nice new features that I really enjoy. But yeah.
Okay.
It's a difficult one. Yes, and it's a good question.
Sure. All right. So is there anything you think is going to be important if the manufacturer or the vendors can provide to help you guys to improve your business? What are these?
Things like, do you know, there's maybe promotional material, something like that. There's promotional material or help with marketing or... a better understanding of what their products can do. It's difficult sometimes to sell a product, even though we know the product and we like the product and we know the product will be good for the person we're trying to sell it to. a lot of the time it's a case of us trying to convince them with very little to back it up. We can point them to a website or a white paper or a brochure. But, you know, some more... Well, what's good from a unified comms point of view is ESDAR and 3CX and all the other ones that do it is the ability to fire up trials quite quickly. And you can, it lets me walk into a business and fire the laptop up and say, look, that's how it works. This phone's here. This is how this connects. And that's the sell, you know, when they can see it in front of the face. A lot of vendors don't offer anything that helps us with that. So if anything, maybe it's a bit more in that respect. I used to enjoy years ago when people like Microsoft used to do roadshows. They would go all over the world, and especially in the UK. And every 3 months, they would turn up at a local hotel, and they would showcase products and new features and things like that. And that doesn't happen anymore. It just doesn't. And that was invaluable at the time. And whether that's ever going to come back, probably not with the way you can communicate things now, like we are doing now. But I used to really enjoy that, and I thought it was a good thing. So perhaps perhaps almost going backwards a little bit, you know, and engaging with your resellers and your customers a bit more.
Thank you so much. Once again, thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for joining our podcast.
No,
it's so good to have you.
Many thanks. I've really enjoyed that. So thanks for the invite.
Well, all right. Good to be back.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess David just gave us lots of, you know, points which are really interesting. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, we surely appreciate David sharing all his ideas, his comments, you know, what he wants. That's very important for us.
Yeah.
So basically, whatever is happening around us, David at least is taking very, very active, you know, positive method.
Sure.
You know, to face all the issues, all the challenges. And, we love to see that.
And
right?
I also guess, you know, what he was talking about, all these points are very objective because he's the MSP.
Yeah.
He was exactly talking about the thing, how are we supposed to do to survive in the market?
Yeah. So basically, we need to help each other.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And, well, that's good. That's valuable. Mm-hmm. And we need to, you know, help each other so we can all survive and, you know, manage to do better, right?
And I guess there's another point which is very important for both of us. I mean, for dealer and manufacturer is we have to try our best to get closer with each other.
Especially manufacturers.
Exactly.
We need to be close. We need to be presence. We need to be there, right?
Exactly.
There. You know, talking to people, listen to people, and you know the market, know whatever everybody needs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's actually very, very, very important. And speaking of which, I think podcast is exactly one of our effort, right?
That's right. As we were talking about everything in the first episode, we guess this is going to be a very good opportunity to discuss everything with our partners. Well, this is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, well, it will be very, very difficult for us to get like 20, 40 minutes talk.
Sure.
You know, with you guys, let you guys know what we're thinking.
Yeah.
And podcast is actually a very good way. Mm-hmm. And also, we love to hear you back.
That's right. That's right. So, guys, if you want to learn more about, like, exactly what are we supposed to do or what's going to be the best strategy to face the challenges or how can we work together with MSP or how are we supposed to improve as the MSP working together with the manufacturer? Well, all of these, let us know.
Yeah. Share us your ideas.
Sure.
You know, like, what do you think of 2024? What's your challenges? What do you want a manufacturer to do to help? Yeah. Let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
And
I guess maybe we can invite David again.
Oh, yeah. Because David is a very, very professional, experienced MSP.
Sure.
Right?
So why not?
Yeah. Because we mentioned that there will be new opportunities as, you know, solution providers for phone system installers to work with MSP, right?
Yeah.
If you are really thinking about it, please let us know in the comments. Pop up your question. We will surely invite.
Yeah, we're just going to make another arrangement for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, talking about the arrangement, I guess we own our
one,
right?
All you guys want. Yeah.
which is going to be the conversation with ITSP.
ITSP, yep. Yes. Well, it's a little bit different from MSPs. Mm-hmm. With ITSPs, it's a more direct bond between phone system, right? And a lot of people actually are looking into, you know, working with ITSP.
Sure.
One way or another, right? So we are going to, as we promised, invite an ITSP here, right? And not remotely, but it's, in person.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be a face-to-face, conversation in this podcast.
Yeah. So this will be the next episode.
Sure.
So whatever question you have with ITSP, anything you are interested to know.
Yeah, just get prepared, guys. You can take a piece of paper or something. Just write it down. Get prepared.
Let us know what's your question.
Sure.
We will ask the ITSP in person, face-to-face, eye-to-eyes.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Okay. Catch you guys in the next one.
And we promise we will get this done as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's see you next time.